A little longer than usual for a text, but I think it's important to read it and release the power of the word in this room. I pray your spirit would be joined with that word today. Life would be birthed through it. Psalms 34, I will bless the Lord. Is that your testimony today? I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name. Can you say amen? Oh, yeah. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and he delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces will never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord and only the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for to those who fear him, there's no want. Young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves length of days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil, your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against evildoers, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of all their troubles. Amen. If you study this passage, that word all keeps cropping up as a prominent word in a number of these scriptures. Now, back in 1971, that's a memory for some. Back in 1971, there was a song written by Joe South, sung by a lady named Lynn Anderson. I know Rich knows this. Title is Rose Garden, and the song starts out saying, I beg your pardon. Remember it? I beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose garden. Along with sunshine, there's got to be a little rain sometime. And so sometimes we complain. Sometimes we even kick and scream when things don't go our way, when not everything is coming up roses, as they say. There are challenges, there are difficulties, there are disappointments in life. God never promised that the righteous would never experience difficulty or tests of faith. That's good news. Because he's going to be with you in the midst of those things also. But he did promise, Psalms 46:1, that he would be God as our refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble. But for our part, Hebrews 4:16, therefore let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may what? Receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. While praying about some difficult and challenging things recently that require a breakthrough, I heard these words, which is the title of this morning's message. Summoning faith in the face of adversity. Summoning faith, calling up, accessing, and walking in your God-given portion of faith to face life's challenges. That word summon means to call upon for a specified action, to call upon, to call forth. So as an overcomer, which is our portion as believers, we need to access and walk in the faith needed to rise above and be victorious in adversity. Right in the middle of it. Not when it's over. No, right in the middle of what you're going through, you need faith. And he will provide it. But you have to go to him. You have to receive that which is your God-given portion from him. So how do we do this? Sometimes it seems impossible. Sometimes people say, oh, the heavens are brass. I don't feel God. I don't hear. God's not hearing me. I don't feel a connection. Does that invalidate God's word? Absolutely no. It does not. Paul would say it this way, may it never be, in the book of Romans. So number one, prayer. How do we summon faith in adversity? We go to prayer. We go to the Lord in prayer. From verses 4, 5, and 15 in our text this morning in Psalms 34. It says in verse 4, I sought the Lord and what? He answered me and delivered me from what? All my fears. You mean you have more than one fear? Yeah, sometimes you do. He delivered me, the psalmist says, from all my fears. And I would say fear paralyzes, but faith empowers. How much of a choice is it? You want to be paralyzed or do you want to be empowered in faith by Almighty God? From verse 6, this poor man, or afflicted, the margin says, or in adversity, if you wish, this poor man cried to the Lord, cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of what? All his troubles. 1 John 5:15, and if we know that he hears us, do you know? Are you confident when you pray that God hears you? If we know that he hears us, in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked from him. What solace, what hope, what encouragement to know there's a place you have in God where you can go and spill it all out and not be judged, but still be loved, still be accepted and understood by him. Moving through the text here, verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The psalmist says it this way, Psalms 54, 6 and 7. I will give thanks to thy name, O Lord, for it is good. For he has delivered me from what? All trouble, distress, adversity. Fill in the blank. He does it all. It is a one size fits all. That's who he is. We all have favored status from him. It's not for some elite. It's for all who call upon the name of the Lord. What will be saved? Need to, according to Isaiah 55, 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. What God speaks to you in prayer will give you the faith to speak and do what is required for your mountain of adversity to be moved. It will move that mountain, but you can't do it. You can't will it to happen. You can't wish it to happen. But you can access his faith, receive that portion of faith needed to overcome adversity. Matthew 21 and 22. If you have faith and do not doubt, it will happen. And all things, there it is again, that word, all things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. There's no fine print. That's truth. All things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Prayer, an important part of summoning up, calling forth faith in the moment, in the hour of need. Secondly, praise. I debated putting that first, because it comes first in Psalms 34, verses 1 to 3. I will bless the Lord at all times. My soul makes exalt his name together, verse 3, Psalms 34. I think a lot of the things sometimes are a command in the scriptures. We don't take it. It's like we think it's optional. Psalms 33, 1 says, sing for joy in the Lord, O ye righteous ones. Sing for joy. Let it out. That which is in you. Don Moen, a worship leader, said it this way, praise looks good on you. Praise looks good on you. Your countenance changes when you praise him. Psalm 100, verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name. Praise opens the pathway into God's presence. Psalms 22, verse 26, the afflicted, or those facing adversity, the afflicted will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him will praise the Lord. So, you know, praise is a choice. You have to decide either to let your circumstances dictate whether you have a good day or whether he dictates, your faith dictates whether or not you have a good day. Because he never has a bad day. I like the way our brother Fount used to say, Pappy never has a bad day. He doesn't. So we need to daily decide to praise him in every situation. Summoning up faith in the face of adversity. Number three, from verse 5 in our text this morning, his presence. They looked to him and were what? Radiant. Their countenance changed. Once they looked to the Lord, once they drew their faith, was reestablished, they got their eyes off him and on their circumstances, I would say, but once they looked to him, the scripture says, they were radiant. It means they were glowing. You know when someone has been with the Lord because they are glowing. Their face is radiant. And it wasn't just Moses when he went to meet with the Lord in the tabernacle and he covered his face. You are a witness to the world when you display his glory, when you're radiant from being in God's presence, spending time with him. Psalm 16:11. You will make known to me the path of life, and in your presence is fullness of joy. It doesn't say happiness. Happiness is fleeting. But joy is something inside that no one can take away from you. In your presence is fullness of joy. Psalms 36:9. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. In other words, your perspective completely changes when you spend time in his presence. Completely. You almost feel silly. Why was I letting that person get to me? Why was I letting that person upset me to that degree? Because if God is for me, who can be against me? Psalms 37:5. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he will do it. Faith is found and birthed in his presence. He will do his part in coming to your aid, but he will also provide the faith you need to overcome adversity. Romans 8:37, but in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. And I like to say who loves us. He didn't just loved us past tense, but the thing that continues to amaze me is he continues to love me in spite of my shortcomings, in spite of things I say and do. I need to repent, of course, but he still loves me all these years. Wow. Number four, how do you summon faith in the face of adversity? Remember his promises and his provision. Every single time you called upon the Lord and he answered. Now, sometimes it takes him a while, but he's not on vacation. He's working in your life. He's forming the image of Jesus in your life in that process. So it's very important how you respond in that waiting time when you've lifted up your request to him and it has not manifest yet. That's where being thankful, declaring thanks and praise before you see it become a reality. His promises and provision from verses 9 and 10, Psalms 34. Verse 9, for those that fear him, there is no want. No want, no lack. Philippians 4:19, for my God and your God, shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Psalms 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, we would do well to declare the scripture before we even get out of bed in the morning. God is for me. Who can be against me? I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am the head and not the tail, and so forth. Declare his word while you're still under the covers, especially now when it's chilly and you don't want to get up. Verse 10 in our text, but they that seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. Psalms 84:11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold from them who walk uprightly. That's your portion. That's your provision. That's your promise from the Word of God. So we need to possess those promises, unlock his provision by summoning faith at your point of need, at your time of need. You partner with him. He'll release it, but faith accesses it. Faith believes it. Faith takes a hold of it. When circumstances are saying, no way, can't happen, can't be, God's word says all things. All things. All things are yours in him. So it's up to you to possess and unlock his provision and promises. And finally, number 5, pronounce and declare the victory before it happens. Before it happens. Give him the glory. I know you're for me. I know you hear my prayers. I know I'm praying according to your will because it's according to your word. He doesn't need to be reminded, but you're honoring him when you declare the word to be so, to be true. Verse 17 in Psalms 34. The righteous cry and the Lord hears and delivers them out of, there's that word again, all their trouble or adversity. Psalm 60, verse 12. Through God we shall do valiantly, for it is he who will tread down his adversaries. Your adversaries are his adversaries. Or enemies, if your translation renders it that way. 2 Corinthians 2:14, but thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph and in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. You are a carrier of his presence and of his spirit. So where you go, he goes. And that can mean some people don't like being around you because they're convicted. And that's a good thing. It means you're shining for him. But others will respond to that goodness of God in you, that presence of God in you that you carry. Scripture says you are an ambassador for the word of God, for the cause of Christ, for his kingdom. He always leads us in triumph. 1 John 5:4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, overcomes adversity. In other words, and this is the victory Not that overcomes, what does this word say? Has overcome. Even your faith. Your faith, my faith. Faith to believe for the impossible. That's where the victory lies. That's where the promise of victory is, in faith. So we need to walk by faith, not by sight, 2 Corinthians 5:7. Speak to that which is not as if it is, Romans 4:17. All things are possible to him who believes, Mark 9:23. You know, I recommend not just reading the scripture silently, but read it out loud. I know sometimes it might take longer, but you will see the word comes alive. Truth comes alive. All things are possible to him who believes. As you summon up faith in the face of adversity, you will see the victory in Jesus and for his glory. God bless you as you take this word in and soak it in and then act it out. Amen? God bless you. We love you.